Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be real and open here this morning. Depending on the vote this Wednesday, this will either be my very last sermon to you from this pulpit, or it will be the last time that I preach to you as a Wells congregation. In my 5.5 years here, I don't think I've ever deviated from the assigned scripture readings for any given Sunday, and today certainly will not be the exception. The gospel before us for today, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, is the same gospel that was before Martin Luther every year on the 19th Sunday after Trinity. From Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I couldn't have chosen a more relevant gospel. First, in the Old Testament lesson, we encounter Jacob fleeing from his brother Esau on the way to his uncle Laban's house. And that dream, the dream that God gave him of a stairway or of a ladder connecting earth to heaven with angels ascending and descending on it, a ladder connecting God and man. We need a ladder to connect God and man now because of sin. Sin cuts us off from God. Sin is ugly and wicked and selfish and cuts off our access to God so that we can't approach Him anymore. But God in His mercy places a ladder between heaven and earth, between God and sinners in Jacob's dream. Here is a place where man has access to God again. Where could this ladder be? What could it be? This ladder, says Jesus in the Gospel of John, is Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of Man. Bringing God and man back together. How does He do it? By bearing the sin of mankind. By satisfying the requirements of God's law for righteousness for mankind. By satisfying God's law that demands that sinful man must die. In the person of Jesus Christ, God and man are brought back together again. In the person of Jesus Christ, God and man are reconciled. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has opened up a place on earth where He gives sinners access to Him again. The ladder is set in place. The ladder is firm and reliable. The one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Here, there is forgiveness for all. But not anywhere else. We encounter Jacob's ladder again in the gospel today, Jesus. Bridging the gap between God and man, bringing God down to earth again, and opening up access in the gate of heaven to a sinner. To whom does Jesus open the gates of heaven through the forgiveness of sins? To a sinful man who was a paralytic, lying flat on his back on a portable bed. To a sinner who was a paralytic and unable to lift even a finger, either physically or spiritually. To the sinner who is brought to Jesus for help. If not the paralytic, then at very least his friends already had faith in Jesus. Jesus tells us that in the gospel. It says that he saw their faith. He saw it in their hearts because he's the Son of God, but he also saw it with his eyes. Because what had they done? They had come to Jesus for help. That is the simplest definition of faith, to come to Jesus for help. To expect from God good things for Jesus' sake. Not because you're good, but because he's good. The paralytic's friends had already heard the word about Jesus that he's good and kind and merciful and helps and heals those who are brought to him for help. So they brought their friend for healing, and they weren't disappointed. Faith never is. Jesus healed the paralytic first spiritually, and then physically. He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Let's consider that phrase. What does it mean? What was Jesus doing that day? Was he announcing to the paralytic a fact that was already true before he and his friends came down through the roof that day to see Jesus? Your sins were forgiven before you were born? Or was he announcing a fact that would be true in about 2 years when Jesus died on the cross? Your sins will be forgiven 2 years from now. Or was Jesus releasing that man from his sins right then, right there, forgiving him his sins in the present tense? The phrase can cause confusion in English. Your sins are forgiven. We use those words in different ways with different meanings. Sometimes a mom could say to her son or daughter, "Your clothes are washed and waiting for you in the closet." What does she really mean by that? She means your clothes were washed. I washed them. Now they are in a state of having been washed, and they are clean and waiting for you in the closet. But that's not what Jesus says here. In this gospel, Jesus doesn't say your sins were forgiven or your sins will be forgiven at some point in the future. Jesus speaks in the present tense. Forgiving sins in the present tense. More like, okay, you see your sins, your guilt. You know them all too well. They are vile, they are offensive, and they would keep you locked out of heaven forever. But take heart, my son, because right here, right now, I take your sins from you and send them away. You are forgiven now. Your sins I send away from you now. They cannot harm you. You have access to God. Why? Because I say so. By the authority of the Son of God himself, who is himself the very bridge or ladder that gives access to men to God. By the authority of the God-man, Jesus Christ, the sins of the paralytic man were removed from him and sent away right then and there in the present tense. He was judged innocent. He was judged not guilty, declared righteous, absolved and justified by the Son of God, forgiven in the present tense. And the paralytic was comforted by Jesus' words and given peace. But the scribes, the Jewish scribes who didn't believe in Jesus, who were there, they said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? Forgiving sins. This man is blaspheming." In other words, he is slandering God by claiming to do something that only God can do. About that, they were exactly right. Only God can forgive sins. Only God is the judge who does it. See what Jesus was claiming for himself by daring to forgive the paralytic his sins that day. He speaks about that same authority in the Gospel of John and says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." Why does Jesus have the right to absolve sinners, to forgive sins, to free sinners from condemnation through the forgiveness of sins? Not only because he is the Son of God, but also because he has earned that right as the Son of Man. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He took the burden of the law on himself and obeyed it down to the letter. He shed his blood on the cross and acquired this treasure of forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation for the whole world of sinners. He earned it on the cross. It belongs to him, and it is his alone to give out. Where does he do it? Where does he give out this forgiveness? On earth. He says to the scribes, "That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he proved it by healing the paralytic. When does he do it? When does he forgive sins? Right here, right now, in the present tense. Authority on earth to forgive sins. Not to announce that sins were forgiven or that sins will be at some point in time forgiven, but authority on earth to forgive sins. How does he do it? How does he forgive sins? By speaking the word of judgment. By speaking the word of forgiveness, that glorious spirit-filled word of promise, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." But Jesus, the ladder between heaven and earth, no longer lives and walks among us as he did during his earthly ministry, does he? Where is the ladder? Where has it gone? Where does God forgive sins now? The Son of Man, with all the authority invested in him by God and that he earned as man, promised his disciples before he ascended into heaven that he would give them a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he fulfilled that gift on the day of Pentecost and sent his Holy Spirit, who now brings the ladder that is Christ down to mankind again whenever and wherever this word of Christ is preached. Where does the Son of Man forgive sins? Still here on earth, through this ministry of the Word, authorized by Jesus. He said to his apostles, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Where does the Son of Man forgive sins. Here in this word of the gospel, telling of the goodness and mercy and love of Jesus for sinners, telling of his sacrifice and of his resurrection from the dead. In the word of absolution, your sins are forgiven. In the water combined with the word in your baptism. In the word united with bread and wine in this Holy Supper. To whom does he forgive sins? To every sinner who seeks it from him. He has acquired forgiveness for all, so that all who look to him receive from him forgiveness of sins and grace and every blessing. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he and he alone has merited forgiveness of sins for the human race, that he promises the forgiveness of sins to all who believe in him, and that all who believe in him truly receive exactly what he promises, even the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, by grace alone, for the sake of Christ alone. And as our Lutheran confessions say, to receive the forgiveness of sins is to be justified. As you well know, this is the gospel that I preach to you. There is no other. That Christ has merited the forgiveness of sins for all, and that sinners are justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel for which I have been condemned by the Presidium of the Wells and by the synod that I called my home for 35 years. It hurts me. It hurts you. It hurts the whole Christian church on earth and in heaven. So be it. If God is for us, who can be against us? If we have this word of forgiveness from Jesus, we are strong to stand against an army, if necessary. We are strong to stand against the whole world. We are strong to stand against Satan himself, and we can stand now and on the last day in the presence of God without sin and without fear. Because if the judge has spoken the word of forgiveness to you, who can change his decision for him? A decision will be made at this church 3 days from now. Choose wisely. The Lord Jesus has said one thing. The Wells has said another. As Joshua once charged the people of Israel, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.